Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, friendly folk. Good morning, sky dream red and missile strokes through your heart. Good morning, hooker cabinet. Good morning, wooden spoon. It's Friday, May the 23rd, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. We could be on the verge of Grinkin' time, or ho, Blimp Doc, ho, Blimp Doc. That more or less is an arrow pointed towards the infinite gray nothing, if you know, you know. Morny Dreck, see it if you want to read it. And then Grinkin' time is the magical future. We all learn the value of things once again. We learn the value of food. We learn the value of water. Water you can drink. Water that doesn't stink. We learn the value of a good man. We learn the value of a good woman. We learn the value of families, communities, liberty, and other stuff. But also, it's gonna be rough. Best case, say goodbye. Say goodbye to pizza party madness. Best case, that Taco Bell will cost $200. Best case, yeah. Best case, grandma's going in the meat vat too. I feel in this case, that's part of the best case for a lot of people. Like, I don't know how the world, given the level of madness, avoids a famine at this point. Simply put, and you can believe Bloomberg about any old person can stick a seed in the ground, and you can believe in Elon Musk, the robot poxy clips will pick the corn, or you can recognize bullshit and CGI for what it is and understand that in order to grow enough food to feed billions of people, you have to have adults, and ideally adults that are sane, and ideally adults that don't have a plastic spoon in their brain. Do your own research on that one, baby. So yeah, if we wanted to avoid a famine, we would need something we don't have. And it's really getting stranger every day. I'd like to say that my biggest problem is depression or darkness, but in reality, what I find myself sinking into, and I think this is true for many people out there, is the abyss. Like, I thought so many years ago, I understood how bad it could get. And this was when I was an atheist. This is when I didn't believe there was a loving God. I just thought the universe was the universe. It had a few basic rules. You probably shouldn't be a dick. But other than that, I didn't have any fundamental framework with which to buoy my faith in anything, to include myself. And even if you'd asked me back in my, you know, dirty 30s, when I was writing code and making money, you know, what's your worst case scenario? And it wouldn't have matched what I came up with 10 years later. And it definitely doesn't match today. You know, I still believed you could vote back then. I still thought that would make a difference in some shape or form. You know, go to the booth, pick the good guy. The good guy wins, the bad guy loses. That's the cartoon. And it was a cartoon, wasn't it? Schoolhouse Rocks. I'm just a bill sitting on the hill. A big, beautiful bill. You can buy it. It'll make you ill. Right. That's what we had. We had the Schoolhouse Rocks. And back in my 30s, I still believed that. Back in my 20s, I believed enough of this nonsense to join the army. And I look back upon it and you can say, well, whatever, people make choices and sometimes we're morons, but at this point, none of the cartoon appeals to me. I wish it did. I wish the cartoon made sense to me the way it does so many other people, but all I see is an abyss. And if you take my darkest nightmares from my youth, they are just bright siding at this point. Really just bright siding. You know, somehow we're walking sideways into something And it's possible that the people, quote unquote, in charge, they've got the plastic spoon problem too. And that means there is no exit at all. No exit. Just plastic spoon heads marching hand in hand into the abyss. A bunch of plastic spoon heads. That could be the deal. That could be what's going on. And it's hard to know. And that's where I'm at. Like, I don't really have much to talk about, and it's becoming emptier and emptier as the weeks go by. I am just as frustrated as you are probably by the fact that there's not much nutrition in terms of the information available, what we're provided with. There's no meat there. There's no value there. It's just a big empty nothing, just like the food. And so you want to go into that space where you can believe, well, it could be different, but it's not. The simple fact is, folks, I don't know that there is a way to get out of whatever's coming. I don't think there ever was. I think as the days pass, I can only imagine it's worse than I can imagine, because so far, that is the functor. Whatever I could imagine 10, 15, 20, 30 fucking years ago, it's worse. And still, I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think everything's going to blow up. But it's a lot worse than I think I could have imagined. But it could really be the infinite gray nothing. And in that sense, it could be exactly the nightmare I imagined. And a nightmare which you will never be able to figure out. Which is to say that it could be a simulation. It could be some type of cabal of aliens. It's something you'll never know for sure. You can hypothesize, you can conjecture. But if it's the infinite gray nothing, then you're simply just walking and talking meat, either simulated in a program or in actual reality. But in reality, that's the same thing. You're simply an animal being watched over. There's no consequence but the consequence of the authorities, of the masters of infinity, as I think a former president once said. Those are the consequences. Those people, you'll never know, you'll never understand, or you'll not understand much better than a dog understands a person, maybe, or maybe a better example, because that's a dumb example. More like an ant, or any type of insect. That's as much as you'll understand their reason for doing what they do. That's the infinite gray nothing. In that world, there is no God, there is no redemption. There is no heaven, because hell is simply institutionalized as a function of reality. And that's another thing, too, that I've learned since 2020, is that I don't know if I can truly be afraid of hell, given the shit I've seen with my own eyes, and given what we'll probably see if we stay alive. Assuming this is not the infinite gray nothing. Assuming that this is not just a broken record that keeps skipping over and over again. It could be. It could be every few thousand years they flush the toilet. And then they replant and they reset. They give you old ancient books and ancient buildings to puzzle over. Some sinking pyramid that's been sinking for 200,000 years, but you'll think they built it 4,000 years ago. The infinite gray nothing. And it won't matter. You can sit back in your chair and say, well, I think it's this, or I think it's that. I think I live in a domed world. And you'll be doing exactly what they, whoever they are, want you to do. And how that's different from the world since 2020, I'm not sure either. So yeah, I think we're at what you could call a decision point or a branch in sequence. I think you could say we're either drifting towards Grinken time, which it, in and of itself, has so many ugly versions, or we're drifting towards the infinite gray nothing in terms of our certainty level. that the robots will be cleaning your butthole, that grandma and grandpa might be eating protein paste in the year 2055, that you'll have cameras in your toilet bowl looking up your sphincter, and you'll probably have cameras in your fucking food. Oh, but Dan, it'll be biodegradable, synthetic, I know. Nanite, bacterial, safe, fucking eye bacteria, fucking Apple product, little pills. And you swallow your pills. Oh, the pill 9000 is coming out next year. It has 8 more fucking cameras. It can see inside of the inside of the inside of your bowel. And then the eye surgeon 6500 coming from Apple next year will just be another kind of pill with a lot of little nanite soldiers cutting away at things, removing shit. It won't remove anything important, probably, but maybe to buy it, you have those pop-up ads. You have those ads that pop up, and they're not really there, and perhaps it triggers schizophrenia in 25.5%, and maybe by then you've got a special little island in the South Pacific you send the not-matchers to. That's what they'll call them, the ones that don't match, the non-matching people, the un-people. They're not I people, they're behind the curve. The curve of the earth, that is. That's where we'll hide them. All the people don't fit in, we'll hide them behind the curve of the earth. Yeah. So it could be the infinite gray nothing. And in that world, there is no God. Like I said, in that world, there is no heaven. There's no Eden, there's no kingdom. And as I said, whether it's hell or whether there is a hell is really the question. Is it hell? I think it is. I think that you could call the infinite gray nothing the functional equivalent of hell. And people are not meant to strive or to thrive. Nobody you know that's an actual real person is ever going to do better than you. You will all be bumping up against each other for eternity. There'll be no resolution. There is no hometown. You're just an alien in your own body, and you'll never know how to escape, and they'll never let you escape. Even if they erase your memory, even if they erase everything, you'll feel traces of those other instantiations, right? Those other times. And if you're wondering if my faith is shaky these days, it kind of is, because I am struggling with the idea that there is a plan, that there are lots of people that have free will, that the plan is going to succeed, and of course that's true. But ultimately, it gets back to that idea that's been haunting me for several years now, and it's not an original conception. I think many people on this path come across this idea, and it's not necessarily something we should meditate on because of the angles, because of the directions, but it's an idea that sinks into our head, and the idea is quite simple. Everybody can be saved. Every human being ever born can be. Every person born today can be. People around you can be saved. But not all are going to be saved. And you could say, well, Dan, what are you? Some type of fucking Calvinist? No. There's a plan. You have free will. In a lot of ways, it's like a line on the ground. You can choose to be on one side of the line or the other. The plan itself is going to happen. Period. It's simply going to happen, but you choose which side of the line you want to be on. And that's where, you know, a fair amount of your critical mortal free will is. The rest is, what kind of pizza do you like? It really is. It's whether you enjoy certain types of music. It's what kind of car you drive. It's not very significant. What is significant is where you make the choice that's important. And the truth is, folks, whether you drive a Corolla or a BMW, it doesn't fucking matter. You may make lots of money or just a little bit of money. You might have a dog or you might have a cat. And all of those things are interesting and they're all choices. And you can consider them manifestations of free will, but they're not very fucking relevant, are they? But there are relevant choices we make. One of them is simply the path that leads to faith. One of them is forgiveness. That's a choice we can make. We can forgive. We don't have to have a lot of money to forgive. We just have to do it. And it's not easy, but we have to. Everybody could be saved. But if you really think about the plan and the prophecy and a proper interpretation of prophecy that's been fulfilled and prophecy that is unfulfilled, both Old Testament and New, you have to understand that in all likelihood, even though everybody can be saved, not everybody will be saved. And in a weird statistical sense, you could say, well, that's like guaranteed damnation. And in a way it is. It's not really Calvinism. It's not predestination. Every second you're alive, you have a choice. Which side of the line do you want to be on? It's a function of faith. It's a function of works. It relates to your position vis-a-vis God with respect to sin. And it is definitely about forgiveness. And these are choices we can make to be on one side of the line or the other side of the line. But the rest of it's a lot of noise and garbage. And that is also part of what why living today can be hard, especially for people that are sensitive to the world around them, is that so much energy and so much useful ideation and cognition is directed towards bullshit. And again, this is choice. I'm not going to blame the big machine. Do I think we live in kind of a crooked neo-Stalinist hellhole? Of course we do. We've got, you know, this, and we're not even sure who runs things. That gets back to the infinite gray nothing. You know, that kind of world kind of exists in a Christian eschatology too, so you know. It can exist in that context. But whoever runs things, who knows? I just know that they don't have a divine right. Period. If you're an atheist, they definitely don't have a divine right, and all that social contract shit you should throw out the window. But if you believe in God, you should understand that nobody has a divine right to be God. That's not even true. It's absolutely a sin and wrong to believe it's possible. But there are so many Christians who invest more energy in other entities, to include the state of Israel, above and beyond Jesus, and that is weird. And you have to ask yourself, which side of the line are they on? I'm not going to label the line. You can label it yourself. Good, bad, whatever, evil, holy. That's not even the fucking point. It's more of a reference. Which side are you on? I won't even talk about whether one side is about God and whether one side's about the devil. Because again, that's not my job. That's part of the good news. The good news is we don't need to waste any time judging, but we do have to learn how to forgive. That's the great news. But the bad news is a lot of people will never know how to do those things. And these might even be people you like. These might be good friends of yours. There are people in your life who, for a number of reasons, are not on the right side of the line. And when the moment comes, they will go straight to fucking hell. Let's just be honest about it. It's not like you get any intermediate steps. I know that the Catholics like to talk to you about, what is it? What did the nuns try to push into my head? You know, you're going to go to purgatory. They didn't want to say I was going to go to, well, some of them said I was going to go to hell. But the ones that didn't want to beat me down too much, well, you're going to go to purgatory. There's no such thing. In the Roman pagan world, there is. But there's no such thing according to Christ. There is probably hell and damnation. And there is heaven. But there is no intermediate step. And there's no makeups. It is pass-fail. That's the thing, too. I used to struggle with this because I would say to myself, well, I know this guy named Bob. And Bob, he shows up to work at time. He writes great code. I've met his wife at these company things. She seems really cool. That means Bob might be really cool. And then I met his kids at another company event. And the kids seemed happy and decent. Bob's a nice guy. Bob should not go to hell. Right? That's what we need to believe, right? And let's not meditate on the infinite gray nothing. Let's just stay in the focal point of, let's pretend that I'm a good Christian right now and we're thinking the Christian universe. Bob's a nice guy. Bob is good and decent. Bob treats his wife well, his family well. Bob takes his family, his kids fishing. Bob puts in all the time. Bob helps out at the soup kitchen. Bob does a lot of great stuff. Bob thinks God is a joke. Bob, actually, when you talk to him, will tell you he thinks that God is to blame for a lot of things. That, in fact, Christianity and religion is to blame for a lot of things. Bob's an atheist. He does not believe. And the sad, sad truth is, as nice as Bob might be, although, frankly, given what I've seen in this world, Bobs are not that likely. No offense. But as nice of a decent, non-satanic atheist that this guy might be, that one issue is what would keep you from heaven and would send you straight to hell. At least that's the version of Christianity I've come to understand. If you want to tell me people that don't believe in God go to heaven, you can explain your logic to me. I mean, I've gone through that thought process. I did a ministry a couple years ago that dealt with the question, the mystery of innocence itself. Like, for example, when you think about the indigenous peoples of North America, you know, how do you deal with death in the context of people that have never seen a Bible? And we're talking hundreds of years before Europeans arrived. Never saw a Bible, don't know about Jesus, don't know about any of it. And what I've come to realize, because this is in the Bible everywhere, to include, and most importantly, Abraham and Genesis, the story of Abraham, is that probably the Lord reaches out to everybody. And just because we don't have a history of this available, and boy, we could talk a lot about histories that disappear. And that leads us back to the Vatican, doesn't it? But just because a lot of Mayan texts, for example, were burned, quote unquote, and they're not in a Vatican library underneath the Vatican, just because we don't have those texts doesn't mean anything, doesn't prove anything, doesn't disprove anything. But I think a person could hypothesize that it's possible. If the Lord exists, it's quite possible that he didn't necessarily make his appearance everywhere, but he made his existence apparent. I know that sounds like a weird way of flipping words around, but a lot of people, especially when you get into questions of Mormonism, will obsess over the issue of whether or not Jesus appeared in North America. I would contend that whether or not that happened is not relevant to my faith. But what I do believe is true is that even though Jesus may not have made his appearance everywhere, although heck, when he came back after those 3 days and rolled away the stone, we have text, but who knows where he went for the time he went before he finally went to heaven. When he was on earth as the Son of God who rose from the dead for that short time, who knows where he went? We have text, we have information, but it's entirely plausible he went around the world. He's the Son of God. He rose from the dead. Tell me what he can't do. So we don't know the story of all these peoples. And frankly, I think the Catholic Church has done a great job trying to cover up a lot of this, if you want my honest opinion. Cannot prove it, but I believe they have. I think that if they came across a Mayan text that some Jesuit figured out a way to translate, and it talked about someone who came along and impacted some of the Mayans, and maybe some of the Aztecs too, if they came across such words, they wouldn't burn the words, they would ritualistically burn the words, send the original document back to the Vatican, and then probably burn a bunch of Indians, you know, Native Americans, excuse me, burn a bunch of indigenous people, Aztecs, Mayans. They would probably do that next to wipe away any possible indication that the word was being spread amongst the people of the New World, quote unquote. I think that's what they would do, scorched earth. And why do I believe that? Because the Vatican, especially throughout the Middle Ages and High Middle Ages and Renaissance, has a history of scorched earth with people. So why not? In that worldview, there would be an Aztec born a lot like Bob. But unlike Bob, this Aztec would think a little bit deeper. and not just about Bob being a good guy or Bob being a bad guy, but about the fact that you live in a place where there's just not enough people like fucking Bob. Like Bob, Robert, you know? And maybe it's Bill or William or Ted, or Mary, Beth, you know, Regina. Who knows the names of people? I don't know their names, the Lord does. But there may have been people throughout history in lots of places who heard the whisper, just like Abraham. Just because we have the book with one story doesn't mean there aren't other stories. There could be many stories, really. But in that world, brothers and sisters, if you're a Christian, you still have to recognize the possibility that in that world, through the kindness of the Lord, the word could spread, that he could be a parent. That does not mean that those without faith are saved. And that is also the crooked, sad, miserable, horrible truth. Yeah, I use terrible words to describe it because it feels bad. It does. If you have any kind of emotional intelligence, it feels bad to think that Bob and Mary and Jill and Ralph and maybe all these other people in your life that you think are really cool, that they're decent people, that if there's a heaven, they should go there. Well, there's a couple things. You know why it's great that we're not judged? Because what you're describing to me about Bob and Jill and Mary, these things are superficial. Because I'll tell you something I've also learned in this life. Bob can seem like the coolest dude in the world. Bob can operationally go through life virtue signaling and making himself look great. But I've met more than a few Bobs who have some really dark stuff in their closets. And the thing about not being the judge is that you don't have to know that. You don't have to figure it out. You deal with Bob, whether he's a Christian or not. But you don't have to know whether Bob's goodness or Mary's goodness or Jill's goodness is a thin veneer and really signifies nothing, or whether it runs deeper. It's not your job. That's part of the good news of Christianity. That's a whole bunch of stress you don't have to worry about. You don't have to ask that deeper question, is this guy grifting me? Because that's another thing that the Lord did when he sacrificed his son, is he took away that paranoia. He really did. I mean, yeah, we live in a very paranoid age, but without Christ, I think it would be worse for some of us, to include myself. We can explore metanoia. We can explore the miracle of life and be grateful, even for days that kind of suck. And we've all had more than a few of those in the last few years, I think. And we can still tilt towards the what if there's more going on. But brothers and sisters, that means that the infinite gray nothing is a lie. That eventually this train does end. It does not mean the end of the world, but if you believe, in my opinion, in Christ, you believe in the unfulfilled prophecy, and I think you have to recognize that this epic of human history will come to an end. That whatever you think about this world, and again, it is fancy pants, it's wonderful, it's a miracle of the kinds of stuff we can do when we stack enough shit, but it was never going to last. For all the sandcastles we build, it was never going to last, And as much as we scratch against history, trying to claw out the eyes of the truth, we can't help but see it in the skies, in the food, in the air we breathe, in the water, in everything. So yeah, I haven't lost my faith. I'm not ready to give in to the infinite gray nothing. And I'm also not willing to give in to the it's the end of the world bullshit. Because the world keeps rolling on, brothers and sisters. You may not realize that sometimes. And there are, you know, there are lots of creatures. I was kind of a jerk about that dog-human. Dogs actually have a lot going on. But there are many creatures like us that have some consciousness and awareness. And they know what's going on. I think the birds know what's going on. I think a lot of creatures around us right now have a sense of what's going on. And yeah, guess what? Along with all these questions that we'll never be able to answer, worst case, because we're just creatures inside of some type of aquarium, you know, or best case, because really the types of people we allowed to run us treat us that way. And, you know, even if those things are true, we still can struggle through it. But this epic of, well, I guess you could say the epic of where the con artist is king, this epic is coming to an end. Anyways, it is Friday, May the 23rd. I didn't really have a lot of topics. I did want to talk a little bit about doxing, but I don't know. I think the whole doxing thing is a trauma monkey. I've been trying to get people to dox me for the last few years, and what I found out is the closest to it happening was that stupid-ass Anna Merlan story from last year. And the net effect was, is it upped, you know, Jared Fiddin's stock. His situation, his reputation, his click-throughs, and his likes and follows have increased. So I do wonder whether that was just kind of like one of these paid setups. Like, did she get paid money to do the stupid story? Because it is a kind of sheep-dipping, too. If you've got somebody who's a questionable figure, and you want to make them look like the people's hero, then get yourself that liberal commie journalist to write an attack story. So I don't know. I've been testing that thing, that trauma monkey they call doxing, and you could say it's ego-driven, as if I give a fuck. It's probably self-destructive in a way, because who knows, maybe I'll hit a tripwire where it actually happens, but what I've noticed is I can't get through that brick wall. It's weird. Like, I've said some really offensive stuff, and I've gone beyond things I actually believe to the point of wanting to piss people off and get them to do it. And it is the easiest thing to do. It takes 3 or 4 clicks to figure out who I am. And it just doesn't happen. So I don't know. It's weird. But if you see it from that other angle, right? That the doxing is really a way of sheep dipping and upping reputation in an upside down world. And that's the kind of world we're in. And it does feel like an abyss. Who knows? Anyways, it's dumb, ego-driven bullshit. Ignore it. Let's not think about it. It is Friday, May the 23rd, 2025, as I've said so many times. If you take 2 and 3, it equals 5. If you add the 5 to 20, it's 2025. I'm not into numerology. Yeah. 5. What is 2 and 3 is 5, Dan. 6, 7. 2 times 3 is 6. 5 minus 1 is 4. Yeah. 4 and 3 is 7. 6, 7, right? That's bullshit, too. Anyways, I'm going to try to have a good weekend. I'm going to be working, thankfully, to make some money this weekend. And who knows? I've already given enough breadcrumbs on that one. But this is not a bad world, I don't think. Although it feels kind of fucked up right now. And I don't think it's an evil world, even though it does feel like the people that have the resources and power are doing everything they can to make it evil. And I don't believe God hates us. I think God loves us. I think what pisses me off is not God these days, but the people he created, to include me. Like, I look at us and I say to myself, okay, we're made in the Lord's image, but what does that mean? Because that image sometimes gets distorted, and it's hard to imagine how to trace it back through any transformation back to any idea of God or Jesus. But if we look closer, we can still find it. And that is the ugly truth, folks. If we're looking for a perfect painting, where every character in the painting is living in some sort of pastoral existence, where it's an oil painting, an impressionist painting from the late 19th century, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and every character in the painting goes to heaven. And what I'm telling you is probably that's not true. That if you can understand that it is a good world, but also it's not that perfect painting, then maybe that's a way of getting through it. But it also means accepting the simple truth that you can be grateful for the goodness of God, but that doesn't mean everyone else is. You know, you could be living a good life in accordance with the principles of Christ. Other people could look like they're doing the same, but that doesn't mean they are. And although this world is filled with moments of, you could call it metanoia, where the gratefulness and the love and the understanding of God comes together, there's still a lot of paranoid bullshit, and I don't think it's what God wants, but man, human beings, right? I mean, that's why I get sick of the whole oldest profession. The oldest profession is prostitute. No, that's bullshit. The oldest profession is grifter. It's always been grifter. If you read Genesis, what you should learn first is avoid the fucking grifter. And the grifter's gonna sell you. Oh boy, get yourself a fruit, make yourself a fruit salad, fuck. You're gonna learn about cigarettes and whiskey. You'll learn about coffee, Pornhub, all of it. But just get yourself that fucking apple, and there's no downside. Listen. Listen, the Lord loves you, but he's tricking you. He doesn't want you to be smart. He doesn't want you to know stuff. He doesn't want you to understand that you could turn his fruit into Applejack whiskey. The first profession was always grifter, always. And the last profession to be wiped out from the planet when you really think about it, because it's like profession versus skill. I don't know. You could say engineering is a profession, but I think it's a skill. I think being a lawyer is a profession. It's almost as if professions are the things that you definitely don't need when food, water, shelter is an issue. Let's put it that way. The first professional and the last professional, the true prostitutes of the game. The first and last would always be grifters. Now, when you think about it, you think about the Constitutional Convention, and you think about all those commie Federalist papers, and you think about the first things we did with an army once we got one, and then you think about the guy who's talking about taking Greenland and Canada and taking back the Panama Canal system, and it all sounds really fucking great. And then understand this is one of the reasons why. Especially with Papa Blumpity Blump, because all I can tell you is the guy's a fucking column of smoke. But this is why, when we invest our energy in columns of smoke, we're probably not putting enough energy towards Christ, probably. The things we could actually be doing, not just the works, but also the faith. Because the two go together, really. And this is the story of Bob. And why Bob, you don't really know what he does on Saturday nights. And why Bob, despite looking like a good person, you know, might actually go straight to hell. It's not perfect. And this is also, I've confronted this because I wonder sometimes if my Christianity isn't really just self-serving. And maybe that's the way I got to leave this podcast, because it's true. Especially these days, I wonder, is my Christianity a pose? Is it self-serving? I knew the difference between right and wrong when I was a kid. I didn't need the Bible. And frankly, a lot of my beliefs on that level haven't changed much. It's more like the idea that they led me this direction, not as if they went away. So I do wonder about my faith. Whether it's actually faith or whether it's just a pose. And it's fair for you to ask, if you're a Christian, would someone like Dan go to heaven, even if he's kind of a decent guy? Fuck, I'm not that decent a guy. But even if he's kind of decent a guy, and he kind of believes, does he kind of get to go to heaven? And all I can tell you is, I don't think it kind of works that way. And if you think that's a sad story, understand, this is not a world for children. Eden was a world for children. This is a world for, basically for adults, where we have to figure our shit out. And sadly, people drown. And sadly, people, you know, get killed in wars. And sadly, all kinds of tragedy and calamity haunts us. And this world, once again, was never meant for children. Which is another reason why, as an adult, as a parent, I've never been a parent, but I can imagine this is true, you have to actually look out. Because even though you might be somebody who looks out for kids, that doesn't mean the world does. I hate to break it to you, but this is not Eden. This is not a crib. The Lord loves all of us, and guess what? He gave us free will. And a lot of people around you, even the Bobs that seem really nice and decent, or the Jills, the ones that hand out cookies. I don't want to shock you, but some of these people are not so nice. Some of these people aren't so good. They're really good at pretending to be good. And since our superficial society has declared that attractive is good, they've gotten even better at mind-fucking you. So just be fucking careful, because this world is not meant for children. And if there are people that you care about, you have to shepherd them. It is Friday. May the 23rd, 2025. Have a great weekend.